The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE.
What do you got?
Sorry that, and you had mentioned to me earlier, I didn't know that you were referring to Elizabeth Warren and her interview with David Axelrod on CNN. I didn't know it was David Axelrod. I'm just watching parts of the interview and I'm like, well, come on, hit her on this. And all of a sudden I realize, oh, it's David Axelrod.
It's Axelrod.
I just realized it before we went on the air. Mm. But I just had gotten to the point where she said what you had told me in our pre-show meeting, which made me laugh when you gave the quote that she gave. So I just want to, again, we're not talking about Elizabeth Warren. It's just.
No. It was just laughable.
Look, Ricky Nelson said it. Mm-hmm. You can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. This is strictly for my entertainment purposes only. All right. And if you get entertainment out of it, then that's a bonus.
Yeah. And as Elvis said, if you can't find a partner, use a wooden chair.
Yeah.
I don't even know how that applies.
Here's a conclusion after the years. Of her claims, we finally get to the conclusion.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
This could be her concluding statement.
Okay.
Even so, I shouldn't have done it. I'm not a person of color. I am not a citizen of a tribe. But what I try to do is be a good friend.
Okay. I don't even belong. I'm just a friend. I'm just a friend. Okay. It's such a horrible attempt.
I expected James Taylor. That would have been perfect. You know, you got a friend.
It's just crazy.
I'm sorry. That just got to me.
Well, the look on her face, you know, she tries to look empathetic. Right?
Like she's so hurt by it. Do you understand how deeply I am hurt by my own actions?
And I care.
Do you understand how deeply hurt I am by my own actions where I have done nothing wrong, which also deeply hurts me, that I have to apologize for my actions, which deeply hurt others, which was not my intent and was not what I ever claimed?
If she becomes president, I'm going to think about a career in looting, because we're done. We're doomed. At that point, we're doomed. It's over. I'm going to come up with my own Green New Deal.
As Al Bundy once said, the famous words of Al Bundy, let's pillage.
let's go in and just, because it's over. If she becomes president, I don't know what to say about you guys. It's just, what's interesting is I wonder who it is that's going to give her money, donate. Should we start an office pool as to who among them is going to drop out first? Now, there has already been, there's a couple of small players that dropped out, but they even said one of them, said, I realized it was going nowhere. There's no way to raise money. But I think even with Elizabeth Warren, I mean, especially with Elizabeth Warren in many respects, it's going to be extremely difficult to raise money. The ones that are going to be able to raise money, I think, right now, likely are Kamala Harris because of, the fact that she's very popular in her state, so that's going to, the fundraising there will be fairly big. I'm not trying to put a number on it, but I'm just saying the roadblocks along the way. The bigger names, the ones that already have the, you know, $2,000 a plate dinners lined up without a problem, are people like Biden. I don't know about a Bernie.
Yeah, but Bernie will raise money.
Raise money in a different way. I don't know that if Biden gets in, it'll be the same. It'll be the establishment approach Bernie's approach. He had no problem raising money in 2016, so there's no reason to believe that Bernie is going to have a problem there. But you do wonder about the ability, and because they're going to have to raise a ton of money.
$1 billion.
It's going to have to be $1 billion. And it's because you can't assume that you're going to beat Trump based on your hatred for Trump or other people's hatred for Trump. And
well,
that's really what they're going
well, no,
on
if
right
you, now. No, because if you look at it, the well, let me just quickly take a just go here, because if you look at it, the majority so far. And this is if you look at the polling out there, and I'm just, for example, this is South Carolina, just for example, Biden 37%, Sanders 31%.
Okay.
So you're already dealing with over 60% of the Democrats who, for example, in South Carolina, just South Carolina alone, who right now, when you ask them, are supporting the candidates that don't verbally hate Trump 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, Sanders went after him and said he's, you know, divides everybody in his speech and everything else. But Sanders also said, I agree with Trump on this. I agree with Trump on that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about things that aren't permitted by the left side of the Democrat Party, which Sanders has said. And Biden is not viewed as a Trump hater compared to a Harris or a Booker or a Warren or an O'Rourke or any of the other ones that, you know, there. So when you look at that, and then I look at New Hampshire, Biden 22, Sanders 26. You're still talking at that point, still roughly 50% that go to those two candidates. There's a ton of undecided in there, by the way,
mm-hmm.
ton of undecided. But still, 50%. Well, you let me see. Yeah, the New Hampshire Democratic presidential primary. Yeah, Biden 22, Sanders 26. Yeah. So then there was another poll done: Biden 30, Sanders 19. But still, you're up to both those polls roughly are 50%.
Mm-hmm.
They're not viewed as the Trump haters,
right?
Which is, I don't know. You're going to have a ton of money going to the candidates who are viewed as more, well, I can't believe I'm saying this, mainstream. And because it's so insane, could Sanders actually come out as being viewed as not being one of the insane candidates?
Well, you know, what they get, a Sanders or a Biden both get the benefit of the Trump haters that are rank and file. So it's almost like that's a built-in, it's the anti-Trump vote that hold. Maybe they're holding their nose for a Biden and maybe not so much for a Bernie. But I don't know that the activist catches fire, right? At least right now they're not. Because you would think with a Cory Booker, you would think with a Kamala Harris, you would think, because they've both been in the news, very active. I don't know if household name is the word, but certainly on the left, you don't have to ask who they are. Most people know, most of the rank and file Democrats know who they are. So the point being, they're not catching fire. They're not right now. And I know it's early, but you would think they would be up there. Biden hasn't announced and he's up there, then you would think that at least those two younger candidates would
be
there.
Every political party, there's different demographics. The demographic that I believe wants Biden is the one that wants to win.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Who can do it? Biden. I don't think any others, you know, that's what I'm thinking though, that demographic is saying. None of the others can do it. Now, why does Bernie Sanders have that kind of numbers? He's established. He's a victim.
Mm-hmm.
He's a victim of the establishment of the Democrat Party that chose Hillary over him. So he is, for the ideologue, the person who they believe could win, because, look, there are Democrats who believe that Bernie Sanders could have won the election because he wasn't tainted like Hillary Clinton. There are Democrats who believe Bernie Sanders should be the president of the United States. If it wasn't for the Democrats getting in the way, there are Democrats that believe that, that Bernie Sanders should be the president of the United States right now, that we would be on the path to socialism and the beauty of socialism and the purity of socialism. Do I go on? Or have I said enough? Oh.
We have another 2 hours, so.
Okay. I have. They reminded me of that when as I was going through saying all that crap. I thought about this email that I received here. This okay. may be the best email I've ever received in my life. Gary, do you have any thoughts on how long this socialist crap will last and cycle through? It's boring and a waste of time, in my opinion. Thanks, Kathy. The best email,
yeah.
I believe, I've received in a long time. I don't know if it's the best ever. That's one of the best.
It's a really great one. Yeah.
Now, you're saying you're just sick of hearing it, or are you seriously asking me that question as to how long it's going to be?
Yeah.
Because all I can say is, I don't know, I will be dead, and it will still be around.
Yeah.
We will all be doomed and dead, and it will still be around. It's not going anywhere.
No, it's not going to
go. But as I've said, I do believe there's a difference between the United States and other countries. I do think and we had talked about the John Stossel report on Sweden, because that's been coming out the last couple of weeks. Oh, we need to try Sweden's kind of socialism and not Venezuela. And I will say, people like John Stossel have knocked that down quite quickly and actually gone to Sweden and said, let's talk to the experts. Are you guys socialist? No, we're not socialist. Now, we have more of a welfare state than you do, but we actually, on all of the different parameters of a business climate, we're viewed as more economically free than the United States. And when you went through it, and when they talked about, for example, their pension system privatized, their school system, voucher system, you get a choice. Socialists here in the United States don't want that. But the most important thing is, when it comes to taxes, Sweden taxes their middle class a heck of a lot more than the United States does. Why? They've come to realize that if you wish to have the socialist utopia, or if you're attempting to get maybe not the socialist utopia, but more of a welfare state utopia, that you've got to tax the middle class big time, which we've always said is the big lie from the Democrats, that you can get it from the rich. And the fact is, Americans don't want to be taxed more. We do not have a country that wants socialism. We have a country of free stuffers. We should just have the free stuffer party. But people really don't want to be socialist. You want the perfect example? The guy from Campus Reform that went out? What was it University of Miami, I think it was, where he went and said, what do you think about the Green New Deal? We love it. Sign us up. Nothing could be better. Here's what's in it. No way. Are you crazy? This is nuts. Why? Because it restricted people's freedoms and choices. We live in a country, and Eric and I have said this for the longest time. You see, it's where the Republican Party is going. The Republican Party is going that way. There's more members of the Republican Party now than in my lifetime that believe in free stuff. We want government to take care of us. We don't want them to intrude.
Bigger government,
on us.
Not an intrusive government.
Right.
You can't have one without the other. Right. It's impossible.
And that's where the delusion comes in of Americans, as Americans are promoting the fact that we want a bigger government to take care of more of the stuff for us, yeah. But we want a way less intrusive government. Well, you're not going to get it. If you want more free stuff, somebody's going to have to pay for it, and it means somebody's going to come after your property. That's simple.
And it's once you have the actual discussion, we talk about actually qualifying respondents in polls, qualify them. How much of them actually know about socialism?
They don't.
They know about people talking about free college and free health care. That's what they know about.
Why can't we do it? Hmm. Well, we saw it with the couple. Never forget it. Well, we were all for Obamacare. We're completely for it. I mean, we weren't the biggest supporters. We didn't know we'd have to pay for it. Well, then you're not for socialism.
No, you're not.
You're for somebody paying out ism.
You're for, well, because that's the idea. I didn't know I was going to have to pay for it, which is to say I thought someone was going to pay for it, my health care. I thought somebody else was going to pay for mine.
Right. I'm for somebody else going to pay it ism. I'm not for socialism.
I'm for me-ism.
Not if me-ism is going to pay ism.
That's right. I don't want payism. Nobody wants payism.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Wintertime can be tough on trucks. Cold temperatures and other weather-related elements can cause excessive damage to your truck's electrical system, an essential part of the performance and maintenance of the vehicle. Remember, since you're using your lights for longer periods of time, your alternator is working overtime. Once your engine starts, the alternator takes control of the electrical system and supplies the demand. This makes it more important to test your alternator output, as well as your cables, connections, and more. Including an electrical system check in your preventive maintenance routine can help ensure this component of your truck is prepared to take on the rest of winter. Stop in to a TA truck service and get your electrical system inspected today to help prevent future repairs.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. But the big news yesterday, Hillary's not running.
Not shocked, not surprised. I just think Bill is a liability. I also think the idea, just imagine. You know what was interesting is that in reading her comments, they seem so politically generic, didn't they?
Yeah.
We must fight for the issues. We're not getting, we were made promises. We were given promises by this. And I thought, it's almost like she's just reading out of a 1960 playbook or something. I just don't think she has it in her. And I think she's probably concerned that with a good economy, she would learn or she would lose in a big way to Trump.
My favorite story from yesterday, though, is, and it would be interesting to be in local talk radio today in Michigan, Governor Gretchen Whitmer will propose in her Tuesday budget, that's today, a 45-cent per gallon increase in the fuel tax phased in over a one-year period. The first 15-cent increase would take effect October 1st. Another 15-cent hike, April 1st of 2020, and the third increase, October 1st of 2020. When fully implemented, the proposed tax hike would increase the cost of a 15-gallon fill-up by $6.75. You and I have talked about this before, how the rumblings are Republicans wish to increase the gasoline tax on the federal level. But now, because gas prices are low, you have many governments, and now, I mean, this is the biggest I've ever seen. 45 cents in 1 year?
Well, remember the Ross Perot.
50 cents.
50 cents a gallon. And it's harder politically to do on a state level.
By the way, it's to fund Michigan roads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's much harder to do on a state level politically. I mean, at this level, think about that. That's basically mimicking what Ross Perot was doing, but you want to do it on the state level with again, the asterisk next to that, that they're still considering an increase on the federal tax for fuel.
Will there be an uproar in Michigan today on this one?
I'm guessing.
They've got the goods. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. I want to play this audio cut here because it was Governor Inslee of Washington State on The View, and he also, he announced he's running on Friday, and he also endorses Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal. And this is where, really, the only person challenging him is Meghan McCain. She doesn't do a good job here because we you and I would just tear him apart on this. But I'm going to play part of it here as they talk about the Green New Deal. Here we go.
I am just a unicorn from another planet. But climate change doesn't even hit my top 30 of how I vote for somebody. So I do think I am on this panel to say this isn't what's selling me on you beating Trump. And I say that with respect. Mm-hmm. What's also not selling me on beating Trump is the new Green Deal, which all of the 2020 contenders have endorsed. Mm-hmm. It would cost $93 trillion, or to every person in this room, $600,000 per each of your households. Do you think that plan, thank you, ma'am, is practical, or have you endorsed it, or do you have another option? Because when I hear that an average American is going to have to spend $600,000 for a new Green Deal, you can understand how people like me don't think that's logical.
Well, this is a lot like the death penalties you heard about in Obamacare. Republicans talked about death penalties. Yeah. We didn't have death penalties, and we don't have $600,000 cost. Mm-hmm. This is a thing that I think has been helpful in our discussion. In a variety of ways. Number one, we're talking about climate change. That is of value. But we're also talking about high ambition.
Could you give an example to just the average person in here how they can help where it doesn't sound so irrational? I mean, we're talking about $51 trillion, the elimination of planes, the elimination of cows, a railway, no planes. I guess nobody can go to Hawaii anymore. It doesn't sound that rational to me.
It isn't rational because those are the things that Donald Trump said. We are not going to eliminate cars. We are not going to eliminate trains. We're going to have what I have in my driveway today, which is a blue GM Bolt made in Michigan with American workers. That's what we're going to have. Okay? We're going to have televisions powered by solar and wind energy. We're going to have potentially ways to fly airplanes on biofuels. Mm. We have flown a Boeing 737 across the Atlantic Ocean now on biofuels developed in my state. The point is that when we think about our opportunities here, we can't be so narrow-minded. Look, you know, I grew up in the time of rotary phones, and now we got cell phones. We're going to have the greatest transformation of our economy that you can hardly imagine if we unleash this potential of America.
Can I just interject really quick? Yeah. I understand you're talking the talk and walking the walk, mm-hmm. but a lot of advocates don't. Ocasio-Cortez's campaign spent $30,000.
Okay, she's off the topic. She didn't confront him because he's full of crap. Mm. He's absolutely, and anybody with any technical knowledge could have tore him apart.
Did he drive that Chevy Bolt there?
Right.
A GM Bolt to his appearance?
You know, so Megan, start doing some homework. Mm-hmm. Before, if you're going to confront somebody on the technical issues and then you let them get away with the crap that he was throwing out there with the Volt that's going to be powered by windmills and solar panels. Mm-hmm. Really now? How? When you go after these people, you better damn well be prepared and hit them and hit them hard. Because Inslee comes off because he comes off in a soft way and everything else. And then they pan the camera and everybody's clapping. You say, Mr. Inslee, you're full of it. You don't know what you're talking about. It is impossible to do what you're saying. How do you power a society like ours? And by the way, she didn't say there wasn't going to be trains. He threw that in there. And it wasn't Donald Trump who said. He said Donald Trump said that. Donald Trump didn't say that. It said it in the fact sheet that she wrote. And so what they're trying to do, what Inslee's trying to do is, number one, not tell the truth, not complete the sentence, and lie about what is actually in the fact sheet of what Ocasio-Cortez put in there, which he supports. It's like a triple. I'm not going to complete the sentence. I'm going to lie about what's in it. And then I'm going to make up stuff as I go along. By the way, if a plane flies with biofuel, it's still putting global warming gases into the atmosphere. I know we're talking about the net zero, not the total zero carbon emissions, which means we're going to do the fuzzy math on it. Oh, mm-hmm. The plants that you grow absorb as much carbon dioxide as the entire process in burning the fuel itself. No, it doesn't. And that's a lie.
We don't have any burden of proof on that. We don't really need to. We can just say it because politically it works for us. Like the rest of the fantasy. I don't have to tell the truth. I don't have to pretend to tell the truth.
The governor of Washington State was trying to sell a junior high school argument by sounding as if he's an adult. I'll do it in a calm and rational manner and talk about it like this and say it like this, but I'm actually totally full of crap. And he is. Just amazing. Just amazing. Sorry, Meghan McCain, and that one, sometimes she does a good job. You got smoked on that one. You got smoked.
Not even with the facts.
Not even with the facts, no. You weren't prepared to argue it. Then don't bring it up. Because when you, on a forum like she has, you bring it up for a debate, and then you walk the other way as if his answers are acceptable answers, and then you move on to another topic, all you do is damage to your side. Don't bring it up at all. You're better to sit there and do nothing.
There's a reason that that Chevy Bolt, that GM Bolt, is in his driveway. Because he couldn't drive it to his appearance.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had to take a plane.
Just amazing. And this is what we're dealing with. All right, let's go to Nick in Detroit about the Michigan governor going to propose a 45-cent a gallon increase in the gasoline tax in Michigan. Nick, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi. She campaigned that she was going to fix the damn roads. And I'm on the construction site right now working security. We've been getting the roads fixed here, the highways, for about 2.5 to 3 years now. So I'm sure that when they are completed, she'll take credit for it, just like when the county roads were getting fixed when under President George W. Bush. And as soon as Obama got elected, he took credit for it by sticking up these big billboards saying, this is part of President Obama's Community Reinvestment Act.
Hmm.
And I believe Governor Schneider here was going to propose, I think, a 7 cents a gallon tax a couple of years ago, and the whole news media went nuts on him.
Well, it's going to be
interesting. I'm sure they'll be praising her tomorrow.
You think so? Think this will be praised?
Our news media?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, but
our news media is all liberals.
But where's the public in that state? 45 cent per gallon tax added over the next year and a half.
The public's conservative, but their votes get counted as Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
It's really corrupt here.
Well, they're voting.
I'm telling you.
They're voting at the pump on this one, and let's see how they vote.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, Nick.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. Because you're not talking about, like I said earlier, you're not talking about 4 or 5.
By the way, it'll be in a year because the first tax would be October 1st of this year.
And yeah, within a year. Within a year.
Within a year
and a half from now.
Right, within a year and a half from today, you would be paying.
Right. And so because you look at the, I don't know where it is in Michigan, but $2.15 a gallon. You add that to it. You also haven't accounted for, again, pending increase on the federal level, the federal fuel tax, if that happens, and market prices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any market prices jumping. And again, I have no idea. I haven't looked on the state level as to where they are.
I mean, it's jumped here.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's jumped here in the last, I think we're up, saw 225. We were down to, I was paying 197 just a week ago. So up to 225. So it's got to be more expensive up north.
I would think,
yeah.
And so, but any increase along that way, I mean, along the way, is going to, and in such a short period of time at that level, is going to be, is going to be met with backlash. You'll have people in France protesting over it. Another fuel tax. No, no, no. But that's, that will be interesting, though, to see how the media handles it. You want to add a few cents along the way, and you're a Republican.
Lowest average price. Now, when let me make sure I have this. All right, let me go to Gas Buddy here because I don't trust when I do that in Google. Sometimes those things are dated.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Okay, you've got okay. There's you've got. I'm looking at Michigan. 208,
mm-hmm.
213, 215. Okay, it goes all the way. All right, so.
Yeah, roughly what we have here, but that's a pretty massive increase.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, 45 cents in that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder what the talk radio lines would be like locally in Michigan today. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. By the way, I went to AAA, and the average gas price in Michigan is $2.45.
Okay, for the entire state.
Yes, right. And I got Gas Buddy had some of the lowest in the state, so I decided let's go to the average, because sometimes the lowest can skew it, because there may be a gas war going on between a couple of gas stations.
And that's the business model of Gas Buddy. Is to help you find the lowest based on reports from other individuals.
But the average is $2.45, the national average. And that's as of today, $2.43. So average in Texas, $2.20.
Yeah.
You wanna just check? California, the average $3.30 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
New York, $2.54. So
yeah.
Oregon, 276. Washington State.
Yeah.
Governor Inslee, because we just were talking about him on The View, 287.
Hmm.
So there you go.
Well, he wouldn't know because he drives an all-electric.
Yeah. Well, where does the power come from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just pure idiocy. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, these are children-like mindsets that we're getting, even from the governor of Washington State. I mean, it's childlike. It's not even worth a rational discussion.
Well, it's fantasy. It's fantasy. You know, and the question is, where is it that because he mentioned these innovations. You know, when I was young, we had rotary phones, and now we have cell phones.
That
had nothing to do with the government coming in and taking over. That was innovation from the private sector.
Right.
And but see, the argument always goes there. But see, if it weren't for the government, you know, it's the whole idea of, well, you didn't build that. Actually, the private sector built all of it because the government gets all of its funding from private sector taxation.
Well, he wouldn't directly confront the substance of the legislation or the aspiration legislation that he supports. He wouldn't defend it precisely because he wasn't asked precisely about the specifics of it. Because she let him get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Tanya in Edison, New Jersey. Quickly, Tanya, hi, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
She not only let him get away with it, she basically spoon-fed him and basically begged him to come up with a more reasonable explanation for what he was saying, mm-hmm. an application for the American public. Mm-hmm. She is what you call fake opposition. She's a chip off of her dad. I'm sure she's a better person because he was deep state. He was a traitor, and he did all kinds of.
All right. Now, Tanya, you're full of crap. I disagree with John McCain. He was not a traitor.
Yeah, I wouldn't qualify him as a traitor.
Yeah. Now you're full of crap at that point. You may dislike Meghan McCain. Look, I judge her based on the substance of her arguments. Sometimes she's given some good arguments. She took Comey to task. She did a good job with him. She did a good job with McCabe. And this one, she did not. Mm-hmm. But please, let's calm down a little bit.
Well, and you can't even make the case that he was a traitor to the Republican Party, especially where the Republican Party has been for a long time. Look at how centered they've become. Look how left they've become. I don't know how many, if you were going to qualify him as a traitor, I don't know how many traitors you would put up on that same level, including the voters that got them there time and time again. disappointment? Yep, I'm there with you. But let's be careful about the labels.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. You know, the interesting thing is, Eric, we were talking about that in Michigan, Governor Whitmer to propose today a 45-cent hike in the fuel tax. That's 45 cents per gallon of gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
15 cents this October 1st. And then April 1st of 2020, another 15 cent, then 15 cents again, October 1st by 2020. So that is a total of 45 cents within a period of a year. Looking, though, there's a story out just the other day, about Ohio asking for an 18 cent, per gallon or 18 cent per gallon tax increase. Alabama GOP to consider stance on gas tax bill for roads. Last year, right at this time, President Trump talking about a 25 cent increase in the tax per gallon for gasoline for infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, infrastructure hasn't been brought up again, but if infrastructure is brought up again, I mean, who knows? Maybe the president will say to heck with all this, especially if the Democrats are going to be doing all this investigating, because we haven't heard anything since the declaration of national emergency. We haven't heard a word. Have you heard anything on infrastructure?
No.
I've heard anything.
From lobbyist groups I have, but not from...
Oh, right, right.
Nothing from Capitol Hill.
Nothing from Capitol Hill. Nothing from the president on.
No. Now, it was something, I think the last thing we heard from the president on it was that was before the shutdown ended, when he talked to Nancy Pelosi. No. It was right after the shutdown ended. And he talked to Nancy Pelosi on the phone. Remember? She sent the invitation then for the actual State of the Union address. And then they talked on the phone later that day. And we talked about some, according to the president, we talked about some things that we could have come together on, things like infrastructure. And so that's the last we heard was, weeks ago. And I don't know where it will be now that you have. What's interesting is that I actually, yesterday, as everything kind of unfolded, and we knew it was going to happen based on the conversations over the weekend, but as it was unfolding, I thought, okay, why would the president cooperate at all with the Democrats on anything they want? Why would he sign anything they vote for and send to his desk? There will be, and obviously defense spending, something like that, that's going to happen. But when you get into some of the political footballs, and infrastructure is one of those, I don't know why you would support anything that they're pushing for, that they want to get done for their states.
Why would you? Now, it will be interesting to see what might happen on taxes, because the president has shown over the last month some concern over the SALT deductions, that too many people are getting hurt by the SALT deductions, and that they may revisit that. But again, no talk on that in a couple of weeks. And there's been no talk on that. No talk on infrastructure. But here's a question, because we've talked about the fact that we have this discussion all the time. Does America wish to become socialist? And does a majority of young people actually want socialism? And what we've come to the conclusion is, and we've said this for a long time, not just the last couple of weeks, but Americans are becoming free stuffers. That's what we want, the free stuff party.
Mm-hmm.
Americans actually don't like socialism. We don't want our lives to be intruded upon. We just want free stuff. We have talked about about Sweden this week. Well, all the Republicans bring up Venezuela. We want to be like Sweden. John Stossel doing a great documentary here in the last week, talking to the experts from Sweden. Are you guys socialists? No, we're a little bit more of a welfare state, but we're actually a lot more free market when it comes to our businesses than you are. When it comes to trade, when it comes to other areas, we actually rate more free in our economic climate than the United States. But we are a little bit more considered a welfare state because of some of the programs that we have. But on some of the other programs, not so much. For example, our pension system is private. It's not public. It's private. School, complete school choice. You get a voucher program. You go wherever you want. So there may be more money involved in it, but you get more choice. So you might say there's more socialism because of the voucher program. It costs a little bit more, and more government money may be involved in it, but we have complete and total free choice. And the most important part is, in order to ensure that we have a constant revenue flow, we don't overtax the rich in Sweden. We tax the middle class more because that's where the more consistent funding is. There's more millions of people in the middle class, therefore you tax them higher. So once you hear that, then all of a sudden the Democrats back off and they can't come up with an example of socialism that they like. Because socialism that they like is tax the rich fully or tax future generations. But you can't tax the middle class. And therefore, since you can't tax the middle class, you only have a choice to do what? Americans want from the government free stuff, but they don't want their lives intruded upon. If you take more taxes from me, you're intruding upon me. So saying that, I just wonder how well would the 45-cent tax increase go across in Michigan today? And what if the president did come out and say, I want an infrastructure program, but we will raise the cost of gasoline 25 cents a gallon, and I'll get Nancy Pelosi to agree with that. Do you think his base would want a 25-cent gallon tax increase right now? Or in the next year?
I don't think anybody wants the tax increase
because,
at all.
Because yeah. Infrastructure sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
But where does infrastructure benefit me specifically? My roads are fine. I come to and from work. There's no problem. Couple of potholes. All right. Local government should fix them. I don't want to pay 25 cents.
Well, the government should fix it. I don't want to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay.
That's, yeah. Don't tax me at the pump for it. Get it fixed.
I just wonder how well it would go over. Now, we haven't heard anything on infrastructure, so maybe that's dead. Maybe there will be no agreement on anything except what it takes to keep the government going and a ton of other money for special interests, whatever.
Yeah.
I had to throw that in there.
Yeah, I don't know that they get it done politically. You're going to get any of that done before November of next year.
And I say that based on the fact that does the president want to do anything that might hurt the economy? Now, we know, we've been hearing it, another story yesterday, we're very, very close to getting a deal with China. Many people believe, well, the president isn't going as hard line as China as we thought he was going to go. One of the reasons is, you and I brought the story out earlier, this is news, the U.S. economy is growing at a 0.3% annualized rate.
in the first quarter based on data on domestic construction spending in December released on Monday. The Atlanta Fed now forecast model showed. This matched the pace for the first quarter gross domestic product that the Atlanta Fed GDP program calculated on Friday. Non-residential structures investment is likely 2.7% lower in the first quarter from the prior estimate of a 0.8% drop, while residential investment is expected to fall 11%.
Hmm. Wow.
You and I have explained over and over again that when the tariffs were initiated, when September 28th, the big tariffs, they would most likely take effect in the first quarter or second quarter. Here we go. There's always a cost to pay. You cannot. It is impossible in an economy to raise the cost of doing business and have a better economy. You will always have a worse economy.
And if you're watching the recent discussion on talks with China, everything points to having something signed, sealed, and delivered by the end of this month.
Yep.
I have my doubts that they can get it done by then. But it would make sense that they're trying to get it done by then, because you want it out of the first quarter in order to boost the investment in the second,
well, it still
and
has,
third,
still
and
has,
fourth quarter.
Still has to be ratified by Congress.
Mm-hmm. So,
but will there be agreements even without the agreement?
Well, there will. If there is an agreement to let those tariffs, there is investment that would likely be that would likely come from that, even before Congress gets their hands on it. If it's believed, if the market believes that Congress is going to pass it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens beyond talks in China.
But that's the other concern the president has. If you're looking for, if you're looking at 2020, this president, any Republican president, has to have a great economy in order to win re-election.
Well, not only that, you're going to it's not, if you think about the economy as a whole, that's one thing, but you've got to get back to the farm belt and you've got to repair the damage there. That's money that's not going to come back to them that they've already lost. And remember, the farmers, even when there was billions of dollars given to the farmers in aid to help them because of the tariffs, and they said, that's not what we want. We want the business back. And so we're heading now into a political season where his numbers are down in the Midwest.
Yep.
That's the territory of the farmers, that's driven by that industry, where a number of those states rely on farming for the industry. That's not something you can ignore. I don't know how they fix it, but you got to find the fix. You've got to go in and you've got to repair that damage politically, and I don't know how that happens. I mean, you would have to talk to the farmers about what they expect from the administration, or on the other side of it, do you trust the administration over the next 4 years? To keep a deal in place, to honor a deal, to not go back and forth with a China or whoever and impose tariffs and use threats that damage your industry. These are questions I would have to ask them.
Well, there's already anger in industries that use steel because the president promised that when they came to an agreement with Canada and Mexico, that when the agreement was made, not the approval by Congress, but when the agreement was made that he would drop the steel and aluminum tariffs, and he has not. So there isn't a confidence in the president that he will keep his end of the bargain with industry that uses steel and aluminum here in the United States. Now, yeah, the steel plants are doing great. Their profits are up.
Mm-hmm.
Profits of people that use steel are not.
Right. Yeah, you're talking about, you know, the raw materials cost for a number of industries and production here in the U.S. Again, that's something it depends on the industry. It depends on the individual company, how much they've been able to absorb. But when you have famous brands like Harley-Davidson coming out saying, well, we would actually be profitable right now if not for the tariffs. We wouldn't have been hurt last quarter if not for the tariffs. I can guarantee you that's not falling on deaf ears. What they're doing about it, I don't know. What they plan to do about it in terms of repair, I don't know.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This is actual sound of one of the two tornadoes that ripped through Lee County, Alabama, Sunday afternoon. As of Monday mid-morning, 23 people confirmed dead.
I would not be surprised to see that death toll increase.
Lee County Sheriff Jay Jones telling reporters Monday morning that some cleanup has been done, but
our primary focus now is search and rescue.
So it's possible the death toll could surpass 23 for this one-day event. Now compare this to all of last year.
For the entire year, just 10 tornado-related fatalities.
Agriculture Department meteorologist Brad Rippey, as cleanup continues from Sunday's tornadoes, not only in Alabama, but parts of Georgia, Florida, and South Carolina, Rippey says there's a storm about to move across the U.S. from California with severe cold in the north, warmth in the south, and so
particularly into Saturday and possibly Sunday, we could be looking at another severe weather outbreak.
Possibly in the same general areas hit by this past weekend's storms. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Oh, poor Martina Navratilova. She's trying to clarify comments that she has made before, and she just keeps digging a bigger hole with the left. She keeps becoming more of an oppressor every day. Her new comments drew outrage, including a comparison to the Nazis.
Okay.
Navratilova apologized for having called would-be male-to-female transgenders cheaters in her February op-ed piece in the Times of London. The rules on trans athletes awards cheats and punishes the innocent. Her new attempt to address the differences between men and women prompted this angry response from Outsports writer Dawn Ennis. The Nazis had the Jewish question, and history records with horror, which its leaders called the final solution. Navratilova treads a very dangerous line in asking if this issue of inclusion should be called by a name that's not far off from the Nazis' nomenclature. Navratilova said,
didn't take long, by the way, all the way to Nazi.
Yes. So not only is Martina Navratilova the oppressor, she now gets the Trump label. She is a Nazi.
Wow. Now, you may say it took a lot longer than it would a Republican. Well, that's, of course, because automatically any Republican is a Nazi.
Right. December, January, February. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
About 2.5 months.
Yeah. Inside of 90 days.
From a victim feminist to a Nazi oppressor. Two and a half months for the left to get that on Martina Navratilova.
Well, congratulations. That's a healthy pace, is it not?
Let's move forward very quickly now.
Shame on us. We didn't even ask how long it would take to get. I didn't even start the Nazi clock.
No, I did not. I didn't think we were going to have to start a Nazi clock for Martina for a while. But it came up like that.
Yeah, and there it is. Inside of 90 days.
Can we get John McEnroe involved in this debate, possibly?
No.
McEnroe in this one?
Come on! Come on, Judge! She's not a Nazi! What, are you blind?
And then you had the British woman ex-Olympian, who also now has taken the stand with Martina Navratilova, as more women now are coming out, ex and women athletes, and defending her. So the battle lines are being drawn between the LGBT activists and the Nazis.
Yeah. Here's your forecast.
A garden variety pop-up shower here and there, but for the most part, the south, lower Tennessee Valley, Ohio Valley, and Midwest will be clear today. We're looking at clear skies up through the mid-Atlantic and most of the northeast. Look for some lake effect snow in Detroit and along Lake Erie, primarily for southwestern New York. Then as you get up into the Lake Ontario region, Rochester, Syracuse might pick up some additional snowfall today. One impact of note, which will begin late tonight into Wednesday, will be the chance for more showers returning to California. We're looking again at the entire state from, well, southern Oregon down to Baja California, Mexico. So we could see more flooding as a result later in the week. Then that rain in the higher elevations of the Sierras, Cascades, and Central Rockies will become snow. That, again, though, for tomorrow, so keep your eye on that if you're traveling in the region. The National Forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Wing Machine, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Thanks for being here this morning. Just reading here from the Guardian UK about the pot situation here in the United States. And not a Starbucks, but they call it Starbucks on steroids, maybe a Stonebucks. How pot being legal in these cities, but you really can't smoke it anywhere, is one of the problems. You know, where can you actually smoke it? And they talk about the fact that, you know, they're talking about one place in Denver, this lounge where you go in, but you can't be connected. You can't be associated. You can't sell it. And so there's like these, they call it the coffee joint, Denver's first legal consumption lounge, the coffee joint that opened last year. They describe it as a Starbucks on steroids. It costs $5 to enter if you plan to consume, but you can't buy it there. If you're not going to consume it, you're not going to smoke, you don't have to pay. But if you're going to smoke, you've got to pay $5. Now, it's adjacent to a licensed dispensary, but they don't make any money off of that. They're separate ownership. The space hosts video games and movie nights, single mixers, yoga, and other industry events. But they say in a busy day, only about 50 people come in. It's not enough to keep it open. So one of the challenges is they're trying to find, and this is one of the things they're trying to find here, and they can't really because of the law. They're trying to find a place where somehow they can get more revenue stream by allowing people to smoke pot in a lounge.
Right. Well, so, and I'm assuming the dispensary has an off-premises license, which means that you can buy it there, you can't smoke it there, but then you have an on-premises license. And I don't know where all the local laws are.
Yeah, if you're a lounge, you can't sell it in the lounge.
But you can smoke it there.
You can smoke it there, yes. They say in legal cities, one can find gray market shops where it's possible for customers to bring their own cannabis, relax on couches, watch TV, or have a cup of coffee so you can sell coffee. It's a nice idea, but without the ability to sell cannabis, they can struggle to survive as a business. They talked to a cannabis entrepreneur in Oregon who's pushing for social use in Oregon, calling it the freedom to choose what you want to consume, but acknowledges that cannabis lounges were a tough business since they appeal to backpacking tourists with little spare cash, as well as lower-income people who live in federally subsidized housing where marijuana isn't allowed. If customers can't buy cannabis, they're likely to bring their own and hang out all day.
Well, and you're charging for admission, but you can certainly sell other products. I mean, your lounge can sell other things, right?
I guess you can sell coffee. It seems like
Sell alcohol?
It's from what I can see, it doesn't seem like they don't get into that specifically. But it seems like that's one of the problems.
I don't know if you have an on-premises consumption license for marijuana. Can you also have a sales alcohol sales license?
You mean like cocktails?
Yeah,
I don't think so. I think that's the problem.
Well, you could have a restaurant. You can sell food?
You can sell food, but I don't think you can sell, like, you can't sell cannabis. You can't sell alcohol. You can't. They can use it there, but you can't sell it there. It's not like alcohol where you can use and sell.
But if alcohol, you can't have the mixing of the two.
Apparently
that's,
not.
That was our question from the beginning. Are you going to be able to consume it in a bar? And because you look at it and say, okay, I guess any and all of the concerns would center around using it and then getting in a vehicle and traveling, right? Driving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you already have that with bars. You already have that concern. So, you know what's interesting is that following, I guess, the business model of the marijuana industry altogether, you still have a number of investors that will tell you, oh, this is the way to go. Get in now. But I'm not so sure based on what I think is going to be a greater regulation of that industry going forward. I think there, especially on the local level, there's going to be greater regulation. And in terms of profits, I'm not sure.
Well, you know, you see in New York, now that it seems like as if since they lost Amazon, you see the acceleration to legalize it in New York.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a matter of months. Mm-hmm. That it went from no. Okay, now we got to consider selling it. And not just for medical marijuana, recreational marijuana. Mm-hmm. Now they're saying, okay, we got to find some way to tax it. And all of a sudden that's been reborn. Now they're a blue state. Now, in the state of Texas, is there any acceleration at all or any push to legalize pot? I haven't on a recreational level.
Just to lower the penalty for possession. And that's actually in the Republicans' agenda, but it's been there before. And if they don't get to it in this legislative session, obviously it's not going to go anywhere. But that's the closest that I've heard. So it would just essentially change it to a civil penalty, a fine below a certain amount.
But nothing like now the attempt in New York to actually, you know, legalize it for recreational use, which seems to be, and maybe it's due to the fact, you know, whether it is a loss of Amazon, whether it's for just being desperate for some kind of tax revenue. I think what they have found out, though, is they're not reaching the levels that they thought they were going to reach. Because as you and I have always said, look, this mindset that you're going to make, we still get the calls today. We'll still get the email. Well, if we legalize pot, well, then we can take care of all of our budget problems. And it's like, apparently you don't understand how bad the budget problems are of the United States and many states.
And you overestimate where the market would go on marijuana.
Right.
Because the black market is still fairly healthy in the states that have legalized it.
And our other point always was, well, what you're stating is that people are going to buy pot and not cut back on anything else in their lives where they may be paying sales tax or something else on.
Right.
That there is all this expendable income, so if people spend $10 billion, that is money that they didn't plan to spend anywhere else that would have been in the system anyway, which isn't likely the case. They've cut back on something because they said, okay, this is where I want to get this, unless people believe that all of the marijuana was going to come from the black market, which they find out that's not the case. And the black market, as we find out, still thriving in California.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, we still got to say it about you folks in California. Only you folks could blow selling pot.
Well, I mean, but it's exactly what I said, about for years. Everybody said legalize it and tax it, legalize it and tax it. I said no. Legalize it and tax it like anything else, any other product. Because once you start adding a special tax to it, a greater cost to it, then what you're doing is you're still leaving the market wide open in terms of the black market. And so for those that were screaming, legalize it because it will help, that was never, for a lot of libertarians, ever, or should have never been, the calling. Legalize it. And end of story. Tax it like anything else. Because when you start adding this behavior tax to things, then you're creating more of a greater risk for the black market. And by the way, the black market was already in existence for this particular product, especially. It was widespread. You know, those who wanted to smoke pot could find it. So it's not like you really had to go out of your way. It was fairly prominent in society in terms of those who wish to consume it. So the government is always going to have to deal with that. And how do they squash that? How do they temper that? How do they regulate it? Well, it always comes with a cost.
Well, you know, one of the things too, you know, we had talked about the new Green Deal, which really has nothing to do with pot growing. but the whole concept, we had talked about this earlier, about how people are saying, well, we need to get back to people growing their own food. And we said, well, that's not going to happen. Everything that we have gotten in life is because of mass production. Mm-hmm. And the mass production has been done for great part by huge corporations that have done it.
Right.
Same thing when we talk about the marijuana. They said one of the problems with the marijuana, remember, they said, well, we want it to be all locally grown, local growers to do it. And then the government put so many dang regulations and everything on it where nobody wanted to touch it. They said, well, there's no return on the investment. And so what they find out is, well, the way really to get it cheaper, if we're going to tax it, is to major corporations mass produce it, because you can then sell it. If you produce it in bulk, you can sell it cheaper. So we're right back to where we originally were, that anything that you want in life, in a modern society that lowers the cost of the product, would be it pot or cars or food or anything else else out there, it's not by going back and becoming a sustainable lifestyle where we all grow it on our own and we all do it in our own homes and we have total self-sufficiency in our homes. Technology made it so we don't have to do it that way.
And once you have huge corporations and any growing industry, inevitably, what do you have coming at them?
Lawsuits.
Lawsuits and politicians. More regulation, more costs. So, look, I don't have all the answers, but those, you know, keep screaming that, you know, we need to legalize it, you know, on a greater level, on a wider level, and tax it more. All right, be careful what you ask for, because there's going to be greater regulation than that comes with a cost.
Well, you may be legalizing a drug so you can get high without going to jail.
Right.
You're not solving the world's problems.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. In fact, that's the move by the Republicans. That's the intent by the Republicans, is that, you know, for somebody who's caught in possession of a small amount, then you're not going to be sitting in jail at night. You're not going to clog the jail system. You're going to pay a fine. So that approach, I might, you know, I understand.
Right.
And I'm pro legalization, by the way. But when it's not a thoughtful approach, and you keep begging for things like, well, then they can tax it. Well, you're inviting the government to control it. And inevitably, that's going to mean a greater cost, which means the black market is still going to be in play.
What they say, still the black market in California controls, what is it, 80%?
Yeah. No shocker there. You know, the black market, which basically is the cartels to a large extent, especially for the border states, they're going to be able to compete all day. Their costs are very, very low. If you, of course, don't include the human lives that are at risk, that's a whole other story. I just don't know. I just don't know where the industry goes. That's why I look at those investors and say, yeah, I'm not convinced yet that it's going to be a massive profit long term. I don't know. It could be.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Cold and snowy weather doesn't just affect your fuel. It also affects your fuel's filtration system. For diesel engines, fuel filters are the last line of defense for dust, dirt, and debris entering the combustion cylinders. Cold weather will only make matters worse. Any major drop in temperature can cause your fuel to gel and clog your filters. If you're having issues with your fuel system, try changing your filter. You should also be changing your fuel filter during every maintenance check. And it would be wise to keep an extra filter in your cab this winter. You never know when you may need it. If you need help changing your filter, stop into TA Truck Service today and let one of our expert technicians assist you.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. It's going to be fascinating to see where the Democrats go with this. Now they've put out the request. They're just requests for, you know, more information from all these 60 to 80 different people, whatever the full number is. I saw 81 yesterday, and I went, I thought it was 60. So whatever the number is, but they don't have to abide by the request. They're simply requests. They're actually not subpoenas at this point.
Right.
Which brings me to the point. If you have nothing on a private citizen, what can Congress demand of you?
You know, that is a great point.
That was the question I thought. I go, wait a minute. Can Congress just come to me and say they want to see my records because I've talked about Trump favorably on the air?
Yeah, that's going to cost you. Well,
because
if you listen to what Nadler was saying, you know, in one sentence, he's talking like, because the president tweeted, that was witness tampering. And I thought, witness to what? Witness to what? If it's Cohen, that's, by the way, anybody can tweet about Cohen. That's not tampering. Private communication and threatening.
Are we witness tampering when we're on the radio and say something about somebody who's on trial?
Everybody on social media. How are they not tampering? Right?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.